Thank you for inviting me back again, Brother Crawford. Shelley and I just recently, a few months ago, celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary. It's been 40 years. She hasn't gotten much older, but Brother Eric and I, we keep looking older. But our wives stay young. But 40 years. I told you, I'm sure I told you years ago when I spoke here before that we got married, she said she didn't believe in divorce, but she did believe in murder. Reese, I got to tell you this before we get into this. I have a lawyer in Weatherford that's been our lawyer for a number of years. We just had our will done, redone actually, updated. He's been a lawyer there for many years, older man. And he's always, calling, conversing. But I was in the doctor's office visiting somebody in our church, and it was packed, a little room, but it was full of people, little town Weatherford. And my phone rang, and, you know, I'm probably the only one here that has problems with their phones, but my speaker was on, and I didn't realize it. And when you have to turn that speaker off fast, you can't find the button, you know. But that speaker just blared out, and Earl King, his name was the lawyer, he was trying to be funny, and he says, "Hey, Chuck, this is your wife's divorce lawyer." And, man, I'll tell you, my jaw dropped open. Everybody turns around and looks at me, and there was a few people from our church there. And, you know, and you try to tell them real fast, you can't get it out of your mouth. You know, it's just a joke, just a joke, just a joke. And, man, it was horrible. What a horrible experience. Talk about bad timing. So if you hear anything around, it's not true about Brother Weatherby. In the little town of Weatherford, it's probably going to get around pretty quick. But we not getting a divorce. We're committed, amen? She did, yes. She just bought a gun. In fact, she just bought a gun a few days ago. She said it's for the cat. You want me to tell them what kind of gun? Well, yeah. It was a BB gun she was going to shoot the cat with because it's eating all our birds. But anyway, I just don't like her playing around with guns, you know. She loves animals, and she's always said, I hate to see animals suffer. And so we've had to put some animals down because they suffer. She asked me how I feel. I always feel good. I never tell her I'm not feeling good. Because then she goes and brings out this little pistol she's got. But we've been married 40 years. And, I thought tonight I'm going to change things because I want to not get in a negative note tonight. I thought it would be fun to just kind of be a little lighter tonight. Because tomorrow morning we're going to start right in on it. And it's called the seven red flags of problems in marriage. And I thought, well, that's not much fun to do at a banquet, you know. And so I want to go a little bit different direction tonight. But I do want to say right up from the very beginning that rather than me come and tell you how to do it, because I don't know how to do it, that is how to keep the kind of marriage you want to have, I'm going to invite you to join me in working a little bit more on it together. Does that make sense? It just would be kind of silly for me to get up and say, Shelley and I, 40 years, we got it all figured out, and we're going to tell you all the secrets. We're still working. A wedding is an event. Marriage is an achievement. And I thought about doing this, and I thought I might get in trouble a little bit with Shelley, but I already bought a Valentine's card several days ago, and I'll get you another one, okay, if you don't like this. But I wanted to share this with you because I don't know about you guys, but I try to find a card that kind of fits. And I thought, as I read this, I thought, boy, this would be good to use in a marriage conference. And it says kind of what I'd like to say from the very beginning so that you don't think that I'm an authority on the subject of marriage. And it's a simple card, but it says, "Our love endures. Our love endures." It says, "Even a good love like ours," this is from me to you, babe, okay? says, even a good love like ours has ups and downs, good days and bad days. Yet I know beyond a doubt there's no one else for me. I know how happy my heart is that we're together. I know I can see us in the future, still together, happier than ever, looking back on this phase of life, smiling at the memory. And I know that I'm proud of us. We've got something that's rare and beautiful. It takes work sometimes, but it's worth it. Today I'm celebrating that love that keeps us close, and I'm celebrating you. What I like about that card is it's not just everything's rosy all the time, but it says it's a love that endures. A love that endures. That's the test, isn't it? That's the true test of love. A love that endures. And my favorite verse on marriage, without any hesitation at all, is in the book of Proverbs. And I just think it's a beautiful, beautiful verse. We have it, someone did a calligraphy of this for us, and it's hanging in our home. You may remember this verse, Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4. Listen to this. It says, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Did you get that? Wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Those are the three words. By wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And it says the chambers in the house, the different rooms, shall be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. It endures. One of my favorite stories is about the older couple that were sitting on the front porch, and they were rocking in their rocking chairs late in the evening. And the man, the husband, like most of us, was going deaf. He was almost deaf. But his wife, trying to be romantic, just kind of leaned over and said, I'm so proud of you. And he said, what? She said, I'm proud of you. He said, speak up, woman. What did you say? She's a little frustrated. She says, I am proud of you. And he said, well, I'm tired of you too. I remember my first heard it just broke me up because it has to hit you a certain way. But I talk about, you know, we get tired in it, but we don't get tired of it. There's not anybody here tonight that's not tired in some way or another. But by the grace of God, we continue going, and it's a wonderful life. Some kindergarten kid said, marriage is when you keep your girlfriend and you don't have to give her back to her parents. Or another one said, it's spending a lot of time together even if you don't want to. And you think if you've been married, I don't know, there's a lot of different ages here tonight, but how long you've been married, the time that you've spent together. It's been proven that married life is healthier than single life. Statistics show that single people die sooner than married people. So if you're looking for a long life and a slow death, get married. You remember the book of Song of Solomon? Most of you know the little book of Song of Solomon. There's a really neat little verse found there in chapter number one, or chapter two, actually. And I want you to think about this for just a moment. In chapter two, it says in verse one, I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. This is, of course, a picture of Christ. Analogy of Christ. But he says, as the lilies among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. He says, goes to her, and she says, I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. But here's what I want you to get. She said, he brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. His banner over me. Banners, you know what a banner is. Usually they're big. The bigger the better when you want to really say something important. Banners are usually colorful. They're exciting. They're motivating. Banners say something that's very, very important. And she says about her husband, his banner over me is love. A love song. It's filled with expressions of love all through this beautiful, beautiful story. But it's not only about the great expressions of love, but it's talking about the love of Christ to us. That's the beauty of it. To me, the analogy of it, when you read the Song of Solomon, it's Christ and his love and relationship to you and I. But it's also a love story from which we can draw some wonderful truths about marriage. But all I want you to think about tonight for just a moment is about the banner. His banner over me is love. What do you think about when you think of a banner? Could I suggest a few tonight? And we already kind of mentioned, alluded to it a moment ago, the banner of commitment. The banner of commitment. To say it clear and plain and loud and straightforward. Did you know that in a recent study they said that children in school, they're still the number one fear of children is when they ask them at school that they're going to go home and find out their parents are no longer together. That's the number one fear. I thought, wow, I didn't know that. Because of what they see on TV, what they hear, their friends, on and on and on it goes. But the banner of commitment. Let me remind you of something tonight. Commitment is like a locomotive in a train. Love is only the caboose. Think about that. A lot of people say, you know, we're going to get divorced because I don't love her anymore. The love's not there. The love's not the same it used to be. Da, 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 da. They go on about love. As if love is supposed to pull that marriage along. But if you stay married very long, you'll realize love is not to pull the marriage. That's the caboose. It's commitment. Now, commitment's not a very popular word, but you've got to understand, before you can make a commitment to your spouse, you have to make a commitment to God. I counsel people all the time, and they're ready to call it quits. And they say, I don't love him or I don't love her. But my question is always the same. Well, what about God? Where does he fit in? Do you love God? Oh, yes, we love God. God loves you? Yeah, he loves me. Well, what about your commitment to God? What about what God says about it? You say, but I don't feel. I know, but we don't live by feeling. We live by faith. Feeling comes after the faith. Faith in the promises of God. God made a commitment to us. You make a commitment to God. It's a commitment to God. But at the same time, we must somehow learn how to express a commitment to one another as husband and wife. Right up front. And it needs to be reviewed often. A lot of men and women sometimes say, well, I feel like she was committed. I feel like he was committed when we first started, but I don't know anymore. You can't just say it one time and that lasts the rest of your life. And children need to know that their parents are committed to each other. Commitment. Commitment means no parachute. No parachute. His banner over me. Picture this banner on the wall and those big words of commitment. You men, let me ask you this question. Does your wife know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, and in spite of all the problems and difficulties and trials and troubles, she can say, well, I know one thing. He's committed to our marriage. And can your wife say, can your husband say the same thing about his wife? We both got a lot to learn, a lot to do. We've got a lot of growing to do, but we're committed. Commitment. And then there's the banner of forgiveness. I had to put that in there pretty quick. Because the longer you live, the more you're going to draw on forgiveness. It's one of the main ingredients for a successful marriage because people who love each other the most, strange as it sounds, sometimes can hurt each other the most. And we've all heard horror stories about physical abuse, but you know, sometimes verbal abuse can be even more tragic. You know, I've known that sometimes physical abuse, wounds and scars many times can heal. Sometimes they can't, but a lot of times, most of the time they can. But emotional scars and verbal scars. You ever heard anybody say, "Well, honey, I didn't mean it"? You ever heard your spouse say, "Oh, I take it back"? You and I know you can never take anything back you say. You can ask forgiveness. You can learn from it. You can grow from it. But you can't erase it, right? No wonder. No wonder the psalmist said, "Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord." There have to be a lot of forgiveness. And then, obviously, the banner of love. I love to read some of these things these kids say about love. When I was growing up, we used to, this dates me a lot. But any of you remember Art Linkletter? And kids say the darndest things. Remember that? That was my favorite part. I remember as a kid growing up and listening to that. It was hilarious. But this reminds me of many of those, just quickly, about this banner of love. Someone asked him about what love is. A little girl, 8 years old, named Rebecca, she said, "When my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend over and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too." And the little girl said, "Now that's love." Billy, age 4, said, "When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You just know that your name is safe in their mouth." I thought, wow, that's a good one. Carl was age 5, says, "Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving lotion and they go out and smell each other." A little girl, Terry, only 4 years old, says, "Love is when you go out to eat and you give somebody most of your French fries without making them give you any of theirs." That's love. Chrissy, age 6, says, "Love is what makes you smile when you're tired." Danny, age 7, "Love is when my mommy makes coffee for my daddy and she takes a sip before giving it to him to make sure it tastes okay." Boy, kids are observant, aren't they? Bobby, age 7, says, "Love is what's in the..." I love this one. "Love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and listen." Isn't that beautiful? Just listening. Wow. Chris, age 7, says, "Love is when mommy sees daddy all smelly and sweaty and still says he's handsomer than Robert Redford." Karen, age 7, said, "Love is when you love somebody and your eyelashes go up and down and little stars come out of them." I want to share some with you that quickly in closing tonight, things that I'm working on as a husband and things that I would like to suggest that ladies work on as wives. And I want to emphasize, this is not a test like we took a while ago to see if you pass or not. This is not to get this on the side. This is not I'm a good husband if, or I'm a good wife. I think you're a good husband, a good wife if you keep trying. I think that says a lot about it. You know, most people don't do what you're doing tonight, come to some marriage conference. They say, "What a waste of time." You're to be commended, and your pastors to be commended to realize this is important. It's worth the time. You know, preachers sometimes say, "You know, I don't know if it's worth it. Only 4, 5, 6, 10, 12 people show up." Hey, anybody you help in their marriage to grow stronger, you help your church. Amen. Churches are made of families. The measure of a church is not how big the attendance or how much money comes in. It's if families stay together and you have strong families. That's what builds strong churches. But could I list these for you real quick? And you don't even need to write them down, really, because you could probably guess some of them. And I wish I could go down these and say, "That's what I do every day." I can't do that. Anybody tells you they have a perfect marriage and they don't have any issues, hold on tight to your wallet. Because people that lie sometimes will steal too. Amen. This is just to get the wheels turning. Kind of just set the mood. Tomorrow we're going to dive in 3 sessions and cover a lot of material. But this is just to get the wheels turning. Things that I'm working on that I would invite you to join me in working on of some ideas for your marriage. Okay? And they're serious, but light enough to understand what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. Number one, hold your wife tightly. You know, women like to be held. It's not a big thing with men. Men don't mind it, but that's not a big thing on the list. But women, that's up there pretty high. They'd rather have the husband talk to them first, but that's another subject. Okay? But holding will go a long way to cover up for not talking. Okay? That's the number one thing, you know, everything I've read, that was the number one thing women want is the husband to talk. And I have to work on that. My wife's the talker. And I have to work on that. And a lot of times when I try to talk, I make things worse. But number one, hold your wife tightly and kiss her each morning before you leave and in the evening when you come home. You say, that's an easy one. I already do that. Well, that's great. I try to do that every day. There's some times that I miss or I get in a hurry or I forget. Number two, listen to her when she's talking to you and make eye contact. Now, guys, I'm your friend, okay? So hang in there, all right? Thank you. All the women are going to come back in the morning. The men are going to take the day off. Listen to her when she's talking and make eye contact when she's talking. Just work on it, okay? You can breathe a little easier on this one. Number three, keep things fixed around the house. Most men would say, hey, if I can get out of having to talk and all that stuff, give me my tools, you know? I'll work like a dog all day. But there are some men that do neglect that. They help everybody else get their house fixed up. But a wife's house, the home, is an extension of her. And you may not think it's a big thing, but it is a big thing. Women like their houses to be in order, and men should do that. Number four, men, please don't throw anything at me, all right? I don't have anything to hide behind. But practice picking up after yourself. You know, I think I did it this morning, but I don't think I did it yesterday morning. Every once in a while. And in the day that I don't do it, she says, you never do it. Always the one day out of the week that I leave it laying there, and she says, honey, you never pick up after yourself. One thing I'm looking forward to in heaven is nobody going to use the word never anymore. Never, always. But work on it. Practice it. Another one is express gratitude for things that your wife does for you. Now, you would agree with that, of course. But a lot of times, both ways, we take each other for granted so very, very much. And it means a lot when we notice. And you say, well, I just forget to tell her, but I notice. Doesn't do any good. Doesn't do any good to notice, and she not know that you noticed. Here's an easy one. Take her out on a date once a week. And surprise her once in a while. Surprise her. The numbers go up high on the scale when you decide where you're going and it's a surprise. She doesn't know till you get there. Most of the time, there's an argument about where we're going. And you say, anywhere. And then you pick a place, she goes, not there. You say, okay, well, anywhere but there, all right, this one. Why that one? So finally you get it settled on where you're going, and then it's how to get there. Who knows the best way to get there? And it goes on and on. So you have to practice. This is the whole reason I'm telling you this stuff. These aren't things that you just, we're going to go home and start doing that tomorrow, and we're done. Okay, what's next? It's a continual work. We've been married 40 years, and there's some of these that I'm still working on. Some of them I've improved on. Okay? Guys, take care of the finances. Now, taking care, I don't necessarily mean you have to write the checks, but you carry the load of the finances. That's still, all joking aside, and it's so strange that this has not changed in 50 or so years, or maybe more. The number one cause for divorce in America is financial stress. I talked to someone just this week, some marriage counseling. I sat down and I said, tell me about your state your finances are in. And the guy hung his head. I said, well, it's going to be very difficult to build and to have a romantic, loving, caring, compassionate, fun relationship when everything's being squeezed out of you to pay the bills. Now, we all go through times of adjustment, through challenging times, things you can't control of. Sometimes we have to go in debt for a little while for things. We can't, there's nothing we can do about it. But to live under that kind of pressure all the time will take its toll on you. That's enough said. Guys, keep up your appearance. Be clean and neat. Remember special days. Pray with your wife as often as you can. Keep a sense of humor. Plan ahead and make decisions. Make sure your wife has spending money without having to ask for it. I thought I'd get a bunch of amens on that one. All the ladies clap on that one. Make sure she has some money without having to ask for it. Take the lead in disciplining children. Make sure your wife gets enough rest and relaxation. And this is just the men now. And never belittle her or correct her publicly. All right, turn the page. Boy, I could feel the tenseness in here. Some things the wives can work on. Turn the volume up, okay? We're going to stay here for a while. Well, let's start off with the same one, the first one we did for the men. Hold your husband tightly and kiss him each morning and in the evening when he comes home. Number two, tell him he's handsome and smart even if sometimes he isn't. You say, sometimes? You know, One of the biggest building blocks of marriage. If you get this, you're way ahead of the game. Are you listening? And this is not anything original with me, but this is so profound. Women want to be loved, but men, they want to be admired. And they are not the same. Gary Smalley has a book, Love and Respect. He calls it respect, admiration, respect, very similar. But ladies, if you can get that in your head, I guarantee you, it'll change things dramatically. You can say, I love you, honey. And I'm a husband, and I'm getting tired of that. That's wonderful to be loved. Men want to be loved as much as women want to be loved. But what really causes that man's emotions to soar is that he feels like you think he can do anything if he puts his mind to it. I can't emphasize that enough. Number four, things that wives can work on, keep the house clean and orderly. You say, what's that got? That's got a lot to do with it, because men don't like confusion. Men like... They're out in the world, men, and I know today men and women both work, but men like to come home where it looks like there's some order and everything's not chaos. It gives him a sense of rest and relaxation because he knows there's some order there. And by the way, it helps the kids too. Children will respond when a house is kept neat and clean. Well, number five, you would probably give... guess this somewhere along the line is don't nag your husband. I've heard a lot of jokes on it, but, you know, sometimes it's not all that funny because it can wear down a man when it's over and over and over again about his faults and his weaknesses and his failures. Don't talk down to your husband. Don't talk down to him. You say, well, he shouldn't talk down to me. That's true. I'm talking about wives now. Don't be historical. I didn't say hysterical. I said historical. Most women should have been history teachers. I mean, they can remember the day, the hour. They can remember the temperature, what the temperature was that day. I mean, they just go right down the line. They know it. Always reminding him of past failures. Another one is suggest. Are you listening? I got about four more minutes. Suggest intimate time together. You suggest it with your husband. You suggest it. And then most men like to eat, so throw that in there. Cook his favorite food often. That covers a multitude of sins. Try to help him save money. We make jokes sometimes about women liking to shop. There's a positive side. There's nothing wrong with liking to shop if you're a good shopper. You know how to save money. You know how to get good buys. I don't know any man that would be against that. I don't know any man that would throw a fit. My wife, all she cares about is shopping. I don't care if my wife wants to shop if she's doing a good job at it and she's saving money. And you'll find that in Proverbs 31, the wife who goes out and does that. You'll find that in chapter 31. Do some things with him that he likes to do for fun. That works both ways. Another one is pray for him. If I ask you to raise your hand, wives, how many of you pray for your husband? You'd say, all hands go up. If you pray for him, all hands would go up. But you can't over-pray for him. And you need to know how to pray for him more than just, God bless my husband today. You need to pray for the difficulties he has, the weakness he has, the problems, the things that he faces. And you can't intelligently pray for each other unless you know each other very well. Make it safe for him to talk, to open up. I'm not telling you anything new tonight. It's not an excuse for men to not communicate and learn how to talk, but most men are afraid to do it because they don't. They're too tired to argue. So, wives, you have to set a mood and an atmosphere where a husband doesn't feel like if he does open up and talk, there's going to be trouble. That's an art to that. You can't learn that overnight. You won't learn that in 10 days or 10 years. But it's something you keep working on. A husband will talk if he feels safe to express his feelings. If not, he'll just say, yes, dear. Be positive. Look for the best. Hope for the best. Be positive. Husbands react to wives who are positive. Be a helpmeet. Avoid the silent treatment. Avoid it. Look and be feminine for your husband. And before I leave, I put this one in a little bit bigger letters for you ladies. Pray for a lot of patience because you're going to need it being married to your husband. Amen. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Lord, give me patience to learn how to love my husband the way he needs to be loved. His banner over me is love, the banner of commitment, the banner of love, the banner of servanthood, being a servant. You know, God doesn't make us do anything, does he? We're to be submissive to God. Does God make you do that? Does God make you come to church? Does God make you tithe? He tells you what to do, but he doesn't make you, does he? Somebody say, no. God doesn't make us do anything. You can't tell me that God made you. So why do you do it? You do it because the way he loves you. Right? That's why you do it. That's why you serve God. Because of the way he loves you. And I tell you what, submission in the Bible is always a mutual submission. Submit one to another. Christ was submissive. Submissive spirit. And the way you do that is you love your husband, you love your wife in a way to where they want to submit. The banner over me is love. In the Song of Solomon, several places, two that I know of for sure. I can't recall them. But the Shulamite woman said she was lovesick, sick of love. Lovesick. And when you read that, it's amazing, because all of us can identify a little bit with that. But what's so sad sometimes is it was a long, long time ago when we were so in love that we didn't really feel like eating. We didn't feel like doing anything. We were just consumed. Well, if we could love God that way, God loves us that way. But to love our husband and wife, to love each other, to stay to keep that romance. Amen? For you Texans, Proverbs says, where there is no wood, the fire goeth out. We all know a little bit about that. The way to keep that marriage going strong is to throw another piece of wood on the fire. And then the wife bends over and says, here, let me throw one on too. And you both keep feeding the flame, feeding the fire. Don't let it go down to almost nothing, because you'll get in trouble. I hope you can be back tomorrow. Not everyone maybe can be here tomorrow, but we're going to, it's a little different tonight. I really wasn't even planning on going this direction. We were going to fill out that first lesson, but I thought let's just relax a little bit and just kind of talk about the whole picture in general. But we'll get down to some very specific things in the morning. Preacher, you going to come and say anything about tomorrow? Let's pray together while he's coming. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening, the good fellowship, the sweet spirit in this church. Father, thank you for these people, these husbands and wives who want to continue to improve their marriage. And Father, I pray that as we meet tomorrow morning, that it will glorify you. But Father, also it will edify our marriages and clarify some of the truths that you've taught us in the Word of God that are fail-proof. We pray, Father, we'll be drawn closer to you and closer to each other. We look forward to it. Be our teacher, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.